Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMighty.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, it's Oscar time again when Hollywood's biggest celebrities walk down the red carpet on their way to the most watched cinematic award show in the world. Will it be a celebration of excellence or a curdling cauldron of petty grievances and backstabbing? Will it really choose great movies or just meh movies of the week? And what big surprise will we witness this year? Well, the show is 1 week away, so to help me look at this year's Academy Award nominations is cinephile Jeff Harris. Jeff is a Toronto-based award-winning photographer, former photo editor at Maclean's, and is continuing a 26-year-long art project of self-portraits taken each day. Together, Jeff and I are going to take you through a look at the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful, the Oscar baits, and the truly original films, what's new and what's the same old thing, who we think will win, and who we want to win. So, I'm very pleased to have Jeff Harris here with me in person to take a look at this year's Oscars. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Daniel.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
Great to be here.
So let's start by looking at the 10 Best Picture nominees. Anora is a comedy romance about an exotic dancer in Coney Island who falls in love with the son of a Russian oligarch. This Sean Baker's latest and greatest low-budget film, again, about sex workers, and it stars Mikey Madison as Anora.
The Brutalist is a modern epic about a Holocaust survivor who emigrates to the United States in pursuit of the American dream. He starts digging coal and quickly works his way up to be an incredible architect in the style of brutalism.
A Complete Unknown is a joyful semi-fictional music biopic about Bob Dylan's start as a folk singer in Greenwich Village in the early 1960s, as played by Timothy Chalamet, and the cast in this movie actually sing and play their own instruments.
Conclave is a political thriller based on a 2016 novel. It's about a cardinal, played by Ralph Fiennes, who organizes a conclave to elect the next pope and finds himself in the middle of some secrets and scandals about all the major candidates.
Dune Part 2. I have to admit, I haven't actually seen this one yet, but I did see Dune Part 1. So I guess it's a continuation of Denis Villeneuve's adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction fantasy about a planet covered in sand and minerals and deadly worms. And this one also stars Timothy Chalamet.
Emilia Perez is based on a 2018 novel. It's a musical and follows a Mexican cartel leader who enlists the help of a lawyer to help him leave his life of drugs behind and disappear and transition in his identity into a woman.
I'm Still Here is an incredibly moving true story of a Brazilian family in Rio de Janeiro during the brutal rule of a military dictatorship. It's directed by legendary Oscar winner Walter Salles.
The Substance is about a fading celebrity who, at the age of 50, is sort of aged out of her job as a model and actress. And so she acquires a black market drug that enables her to create a younger version of herself with some crazy, unexpected side effects.
Nickel Boys is young director Ramel Ross's excellent historical drama about two young black men trapped in a notorious reform school in Jim Crow, Florida. It combines a devastating story with experimental techniques.
And Wicked is based on the massively successful Broadway play. It is only part one. The second part of Wicked comes out next December. But it's the origin story of the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz and explores the notion of how does one become evil.
So now that we've talked about the nominees for Best Picture. Jeff, what's your general impression of this year's Oscar noms, starting with the Best Picture that we just heard?
Well, I think some of these movies are incredibly long. The average runtime of all 10 of them is 2.5 hours. The one I like the most, The Brutalist, is 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Plus an interview.
And it has an intermission. So, you know, that seems painful, but I feel like if you can see these movies in a theater, it's sort of helps you with these incredible runtimes and almost makes it, like I saw The Brutalist with a, you know, packed theater, and the intermission was almost just as interesting as the film. You felt like you were like on this marathon together and you could talk about where you thought part A and part B is going. And similarly, The Substance I saw with the packed theater, and it felt like a roller coaster ride where everyone was hooting and hollering. And I don't think it would have been the same watching it by myself at home.
I agree. I always think a movie seen in the theater is better. And I've all the nominees I saw, all 9 out of 10, I did see in movie theaters. And I agree. Some of these epic stories do deserve a lot of airtime. I just wonder, screen time. I just wonder, do they have to be that long? Couldn't they make some nice, easy to watch 90-minute ones? But yeah, I guess if you're creating a great piece of art, the length is okay. But imagine the average length of time is 2 hours. You say 2 hours and 20 minutes?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Anyway, I mean, you know, a bit of scissors, a bit of clip, clip, clip could have made them a little bit shorter. But those are the this is the the great masters.
Right.
One thing I found, or I haven't found, I wonder how it's going to be at this year's Oscars, is, of course, the terrible disaster of the wildfires that burnt down much of L.A. So I'm wondering how they're going to handle in the show. Previous award shows I saw, someone will say, oh, and I give thanks to the firefighters and things like that, the first responders. And then once one person says, everyone has to say it too. So I wonder if they're going to organize some sort of response to that, just because the lives of the actors, of the crew, of the studios themselves, of where they shot, there's so much was destroyed by these terrible fires. And this is a celebration of Hollywood. So a direct attack on Hollywood, I think they have to address it somehow. I just wonder how they're going to handle it.
Well, the Grammys did an amazing job. They opened up the night with a band called Dawes, who lost their home, their recording studio, everything. And that band played I Love L.A., the Randy Newman song. And then throughout the night, they had firefighters presenting awards, and there was some great montages. And it was done in a way that wasn't a bummer. Like, it was a sort of a celebration, and it made you want to help, you know? So I think the Oscars will do something similar.
Interesting. I also wonder, I haven't heard anything to the contrary, but wonder if they're going to play down the disaster or they're going to build it up, because it's a big part of it is the glamorous clothing. But do people want to be showing off their expensive fashions when so many people in their hometown have suffered, or if they're going to sort of play it down, wear sackcloth and ashes? I don't know. Maybe it'll be somewhere in between. I have no idea, but that's something we have to watch.
Like, none of these films are particularly political. Maybe Emilia Perez. I'm just curious whether we'll see any anti-Trump sentiment in Hollywood this year. One of the nominees for Best Actress is a trans woman, and that would be a pretty powerful statement if she won, just because, you know, we're in this Trump era where they're officially only recognizing two genders. This would be an interesting way for Hollywood to...
You're talking about Emilia Perez.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be talking about Best Leading Actress in a movie, but that'll be coming in the second part of this discussion. For me, another thing that surprised me is the wide range of genres and types of movies they nominated this year. Used to be one or two, the very narrow type of movie that qualified to be Oscar bait or Oscar worthy, however you want to call it. So historical dramas, effete British upper class or royalty, something about World War II or the Holocaust, musical biopic, especially musicians that came to fame in the generation of the baby boomers. You didn't want to be too early, you didn't want to be too late. So it was very exacting in what you make a movie about. This year, though, there was a very wide range. There was musicals, historical dramas, biopics, science fiction, even a rom-com. It just, they did expand it to 10 from 5 or 6. So I think that allowed much wider movies than the old school Oscar bait, which was all we used to see. Well, what are your feelings about that?
Well, do you feel like there's a huge criticism of the awards is that the movies that win are movies that none of the general public can recognize or have seen. I think in past years they've made an effort to make it more commercial. I don't feel like this is particularly commercial this year.
Wicked?
Wicked, yeah. One. But a lot of them...
Dune?
Dune's still challenging, I would say.
Challenging, but it's a...
Artful science fiction.
Yeah. And Dune, I think, was an excellently done musical.
Dune was a musical?
No, sorry, Wicked.
Oh, right.
Wicked.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's phenomenal. I loved it. It's fantastic. But yeah, no, it's interesting because there's three musical-ish films out of 10 for Best Picture.
Which ones?
Not only Wicked, but Emilia Perez, and then the music biopic on Bob Dylan, which is sung by Timothée Chalamet.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, there are three music-centered movies, which is also, I mean, unusual now. I think in the heyday of musicals, that was a common enough thing. In the 1960s and 70s, I think, or 60s, 50s and 60s, a lot of the best pictures were musicals, but those days are long gone. Interestingly, though, Wicked is a musical, but it's a musical that was on Broadway stage maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It used to be, it would be a Broadway hit, and then next year it would be a Hollywood musical.
Right.
So I think there's a much longer gap now. They're not as quick to grab something like that.
That has become the highest grossing musical of all time now. Wicked.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Already.
Wait. More than Sound of Music?
Yep.
In current dollars and those time of dollars?
I took this from Wikipedia. It says the film has already become the highest grossing musical film adaptation of all time.
Interesting. Well, we're running out of time, but before we go, before we close this audio version, we're going to continue this online. But who do you think will win, should and will win Best Picture?
I would love to see The Brutalist win for Best Picture. Realistically, I think Conclave will win.
I think there's so many good movies. I hope Anora wins Best Picture.
Nice.
But maybe Conclave. At the time of this recording, the Pope has double pneumonia, which might bring it that little push they need to bring it to the top. Anyway, thanks so much for talking with me, Jeff. And this will be continued online. I've been speaking with Jeff Harris, noted cinephile and photographer, and we've been talking about the Oscars, which is on 1 week from tomorrow. That's Sunday, March 2nd. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.